Good morning, and welcome to the South Fayette Church of Christ. If you're visiting with us for the very first time, I need for you to know from our hearts to your hearts, we are glad that you're here. And we hope that any time that you're able to come out to worship with us in spirit and in truth, it is our prayer that you absolutely do so. And to the saints here at the South Fayette Church of Christ, let us remember to keep the main thing the main thing. And that's keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, loving one another as Christ also loved us, and having a zeal and a desire for God's word as we become stronger men and women in God. So I'm so grateful for you being here this morning. And just thinking, I don't know. I'll save it for next week, Johnny. I'll save it for next week. In preparation for my lesson this morning, I did a little bit of research on a lighthouse. And I found it to be very intriguing about a lighthouse. So here's a small bit of information regarding a lighthouse. So the purpose of a lighthouse is to steer mariners, right, who are in a dense fog. They're trying to navigate the waters at night. And it's to steer them away from cliffs, to steer them away from shorelines, coral reefs, and other potential hazardous areas. The lighthouse provides and gives a signal to the ships, right, to let them know that they are close to these types of areas. Lighthouses are also needed so that people can see them during the day, and they perform a similar function of warning of the reefs and the underwater hazards such as rocks. Now, here's an actual picture, as you can see behind me, of the Bell Rock Lighthouse off the coast of Scotland. And it's situated directly on the top of a rock, which is visible for only a short period of time during the day. And I want you to know, after nearly 200 years after it was first built, the Bell Rock Lighthouse still stands proudly, flashing its warning light. It's 11 miles out to sea off the east coast of Scotland, and it's a remarkable sight, as you can see, a white stone tower over 100 feet high, rising seemingly without support of the North Sea. And while the Bell Lighthouse may be impressive, I want you to be encouraged this morning as you open up your Bibles with me that we as Christians have a rock too, and a solid foundation of a rock in Christ the Jesus. And he is a light that is unmovable. He is a light that's everlasting. And I need for us to remember, in the darkness of our lives, when we are getting crashed by the waves of sin, that we need to remember that Jesus is our lighthouse. He is our rock. He is our guiding light. So for a little while this morning, I want to speak on the subject, the guiding light, the guiding light. God's word, and I need for us to get this, God's word can steer us out of the darkness that we're in. It can steer us away from the danger when we're about to crash onto the rocks of life. And now sometimes we can't always see these dangers because we're in the midst of it. We can't see what lies ahead of us, but God can. God's word provides each and every one of us with warnings about choosing the wide gate. And many times we get plenty of warnings. But because we lack faith, because our unwillingness to do what he's asked us to do and don't heed those warnings that are set before us, many of us become shipwrecked in life. That's why Paul admonished Timothy regarding this in 1 Timothy chapter 1, looking at verse 2, that by them you may wage the good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience. By rejecting this, some have made shipwreck of their faith. We have to remember that he is our lighthouse. We have to remember that he is the solid foundation that we need to stand on when we're going through different things. And so just as Timothy was being charged by Paul, we have a charge as Christians as well. Now, while the lighthouse is a beacon of comfort for mariners as they're out to sea so that they can find their way home. Jesus is also our beacon of comfort. And through faith in him, we are assured that we will find our way home. It is his light that breaks through the darkness. It is his light that reassures us of his constant presence. And we do so by staying in the word of God. This morning, Brother Malik read into our hearing John chapter 8 and verse 12, which reads again that Jesus spoke to them saying that I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but they will have the light of life. Now, this was a statement about God's glory, but it was much more than that, because it was about how he came to do that very thing. And just as the lighthouse, the word of Jesus guides each and every one of his believers and followers to safety. I want to ask each of you this morning to investigate your hearts. I want you to take a real hard look at yourself and ask yourself, am I walking in the light of Jesus? Am I following his word, or am I walking in darkness, ignoring the warning signs? Today and throughout the rest of this week, we need to stay reminded that Jesus is the light. We need to stay reminded that he is the key. He is the guide that we need as we're in this cloudiness, in this darkness, in this world, to know that he'll get us to our destination safely. And I don't want you to be deceived in thinking that a child of God cannot fall. I don't want you to believe because things are going great and the kids are firing on all cylinders, the marriage is great and work is great, that you can't fall. Because you come to church and you know a few Bible verses, it doesn't mean that you cannot fall. Just because you've been doing good for quite some time and you're on a roll does not mean you cannot fall. We live in a world surrounded by sin. And while the goal is to live holy, we sometimes fall short. Amen? We do. And with Jesus as our guiding light, we can always see a way forward. You see, the thing that God and light is, it is both guiding and it's also light. I'll say it again. The great thing about a guiding light is it not only guides you, but it also provides a source of light. The Bible reads in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, let your light shine before others. Why? So that they may see what? Your good works. And give who? The glory. The Father who is in heaven. So when we talk about walking in this world, the goal for us, when we walk outside of these doors, when we go to work, when we're at school, when we're doing the day-to-day activities, is to glorify our Father. That is our goal. We are to let our light shine. People ought to know that we're Christians by the way that we behave, by the way that we respond, by our love language, by our conversations, by our influence. People ought to know that we are children of God. If you have your Bibles with you or electronic devices, turn with me to John chapter 12. I want to look at verse 35. So important for us to walk in this world with the understanding that I'm supposed to exemplify the characteristics of Christ. The things that I do are supposed to magnify his name. The way that I show myself in my behavior, So people will understand that I am a lover of Christ and I won't stumble in the darkness. And most of the time people stumble in the darkness is because they don't have the light. And when you don't have the light, saints, you don't know where you're going. You ever tried to drive at 4 o'clock in the morning without some lights on? It's morning, but yet it's dark. And you need light in order to get to the destination. And in order to get to the destination safely, you have to have your lights. So Jesus said to them in John chapter 12, looking at verse 35, the light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in darkness does not know where he's going. Have you ever thought to yourself, is it any wonder why so many people have lost their way? You say, well, I just don't understand why they've lost their way. Many have been overtaken by darkness and they refuse to turn on the lights. Remember, I gave this illustration before, and I'll give it again because it's a wonderful illustration. Brother, I'm sure you probably have gotten up in the morning time. It's about 3 o'clock in the morning. You're very thirsty, right? You get up. You don't think about anything. You just know I'm going to the refrigerator. I'm thirsty. I'm parched. I need something to drink. You get up. You go in there to get you something to drink. But on the way there, you stub your toe. I mean, you hit it hard. It's like and you're like, oh. And then what's the next thing you do? Turn on the light. When it made more sense to turn on the light before you went and got the water so that you know where you're going. But many of us make that mistake that I can navigate my way through this darkness. I'll be all right. When the light is right there for you to turn on to help you navigate so you don't have all those bumps and bruises that we experience in this life. And we refuse to allow God to be the light in our lives. It's no wonder why many people are walking around here like they working at Peachtree City for the set of Walking Dead. Because that's how many of us are spiritually. We walk around like spiritual zombies without our lights being on. We're walking around like the Walking Dead, not knowing where we're going. And Satan's devices will have you believe that lying is okay. That cheating is okay. That stealing is okay. Adultery is okay. Homosexuality is okay. Those are people who are walking in darkness who refuse to allow the light of the Lord to shine in their lives. And if you are able to be in the light, we as children of God must be guided by Jesus through the works and the love and the words of hope that point us to the one who died for us. It points us directly to the one who suffered for us, the one who paid a debt that you could not owe. We got to remember that. We got to remember that he overcame death. We got to remember that he rose again for us. We have the good news. Amen. We have the answer, the key to it all that makes an eternal difference. I'm not just saying this because it sounds good. When you turn on the light, it makes an eternal difference. We're talking about your eternity, and your unwillingness to turn on the light will send you to hell forever. But I guess for most people, you're getting your practice in now. So I guess if you figure if you're going to walk in darkness here, you'll walk in darkness later. It won't be nothing new. And many people have bought into that. We have to get out of that mindset. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 14, it says, "For the world is not your permanent home." And yet people are setting up shop to be right here forever. And even though we've gone through pandemics, epidemics, all types of disease, all types of killings and murders, we think that we still have time. You already down here making preparations to live in a place for a temporary set of years. You're only going to be here for a temporary amount of time. And then I ask myself then, if you're making preparations for something that's temporary, what type of preparations are you making for eternity? So if you want to be prepared, it first starts with the mind. You want to make him the light of your life, you have to put him in your heart and in your mind. You know, as Christians, if you really want to make a difference, you know, you got to be the light to help others see. And most of the time, you don't want to be the light because that's accountability. That's responsibility. And I got to call this person. I got to take care of this person. You're sure right. That's what you're supposed to do as believers and followers of Christ. And 1 Peter chapter 1, looking at verses 13 through 19. Therefore, preparing your minds for action. You got to get your mind right. You got to be sober minded. And then when your mind is right, you got to set that hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then you got to be an obedient child of God. And you cannot conform to the ways of this world, to the passions of your flesh, or to your former ignorance, the way you used to believe, the way you used to act, the way you used to talk, the way you used to respond, the way you used to exercise promiscuity and all the things that are contrary to the will and the word of God. And then you have to understand that you got to be holy because you've been called to do so, and you can make it happen. You also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, and it says, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Why wouldn't you be holy when your father is holy? Why can't you be righteous when your father is righteous? Why can't you love the way your father loves? He's giving you the example. He's showing you the way, and he's giving you the light. But you got to prepare your mind. And when we make preparations for everything else in this life, we need to be making those preparations for eternity. And you got to get your mind geared in order to go in the right direction. And then when you get through doing that, then you got to understand, my mind is right now. I got to be willing to submit. I got to be willing to give of myself. I got to give myself away to him the same way he gave himself away from me. And the difference is, I won't even scratch the surface of the pain and the disrespect and the anguish that he went through. And yet he's asking you to die to yourself, to die to sin. Make that sacrifice. And when you submit to the will of God, you understand something, that the word of God is a glorious light in any dark situation. Anything that you can think about, he is the light that will light that whole thing up. Any darkness that's going on, any ugliness that's going on, he will reveal it. In Romans chapter 12, looking at verses 2, it says this, and do not be conformed to this world. You got to submit to his will. If you don't want to be conformed, I'm submitting to your will. I'm going to do everything that you say do, how you say do it, how often you tell me to do it. But I got to be transformed by the renewal of my mind so that I may prove that the will of God is that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And you wonder why we got to be lights to the world? If you want to send the devil packing, if you're having difficulties, if you want to send them packing, I got the answer for you right here. You ready for it? It's free. Ain't going to cost you a thing. It's free. You ready? Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. That ain't cost you nothing. You ain't got no installments, none of that. Ain't no fine print that you got to look through. It's right here. You got to submit yourselves to the will of God. And when you resist the devil, flee from him. Most of the time, if you think about it, when bees and stuff is flying around your head, you fan, get out of here. Or a dog, get out of here. It'd run off, right? But if you go, come on. Yeah, you are. Yes, you are. That's how we are with sin. Oh, come on. I can deal with it. Oh, come here, boys. It's so cute. And I'll let it go. And then before you know it, you done brought the dog home, taking care of it. And now you got to have that conversation with your husband because like, don't bring no more dogs home. And now you have it in the house. That's exactly how sin is. We call it over to us. But if we resist the devil, he'll flee from us. In all the New Testament incidences where the word submit occurs, it pretty much transforms through the Greek word hupotasso, means under, and tasso means to arrange, right? So this is a root word that's translated by the word subject or subjection. The word's full meaning is to obey, to be put under, to subject yourself unto, to put under, to be obedient. You hear all these things, and that's required in order for you to be used by God. So to be the born again to a living hope is where the third thing comes in. In 1 Peter chapter 1, looking at verses 3 through 8, Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercies, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. So you've been your tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than the gold that perishes through it is tested by fire, but may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We are born again to a living hope. The reason so many people are walking around in darkness and aren't able to find a light is because they're giving up hope and they're living with a dead hope. You got to have a living hope, not a dead one. My friends, we can't find hope in the bottle. You can't find hope on the internet, on Facebook, on Snapchat, on whatever apps that are out there. Young people, it ain't on ChristianMingle.com. It's not on a pornography website. It's not in extramarital affairs. It's not in homosexuality, stealing, or cheating. It's not there. Let me tell you something. It's easy to trust the situation in the light. But being able to trust God in darkness and in the midst of the storm, now that's faith. And we got to be willing to exercise that faith. And when life's stormy, storms get in our way and crises arise, the ones that we created, because I want to be clear about this, the crisis that we create, and your vision is blurred, and you feel like giving up, you can follow Jesus because he's our lighthouse. When I think about the captain of a marine vessel seeking light, that beacon of light to get him to safety, right? He's in the midst of this storm. He's sailing his boat and it's getting brutalized by the storm. And even though his vision is cloudy and is dark, there is a light that guides him to a safe place. And in the same way, we should follow the light of Jesus, our lighthouse, fully and confidently. We should be able to do this and being guided through so we can get to the best possible situation. Because not only are you going to get there on time, you're going to get there safe and you're going to be better than you were before you got there. That's the way it's supposed to be. And the one thing that I think that we don't utilize is prayer. Our prayer life, we do not utilize this. See, when we think about God, right, the God of heaven, he's guiding us in every single way, right? The God of heaven is the guiding light. And you know what that light does? That light takes us to the cross. And when you're getting taken to the cross, you understand who was on the cross. And you understand why he did what he did on the cross. And because he did what he did on the cross, I'm going to live in a manner that represents him in every sense of the word. Because he died for me. And it is his light that warms us when we are in the perils that will beset us off of our path. It is his light that helps us. It is his light. Not only does it light the path, but it takes you the right way. He's a lamp to your feet. So when it gets dark and you get all out of control and you don't know where you are, he will keep you on the right path. His light also causes you to grow. Just like the light of the sun causes a plant to grow, that's exactly what the word of God does. That's exactly what happens when you accept him in your life and he is, and his word is written on the tablets of your heart. You grow. And in this light, he also gives you reassurance, the light that brings us that peace that we're all looking for. And we gain that peace, right, from that burden of sin that we have. It's being lifted off of us because we're willing to follow the light. The light also reveals the truth concerning the way to salvation. John chapter 8, verse 12 says, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but you will have the light. You have an opportunity, right? That means life is in its all its fullness. And that's the eternal life that we're searching and seeking for. In John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, yet all who received him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. We must open up our hearts to receive him. And many of us have. There's no doubt about that. Many of us have. And if we're letting our light shine before the world and before all men, those who have not obeyed, guess what they got now? They got hope. Everybody's walking in darkness looking at you and you representing light, they got hope. Everybody that feels like there's no way that they can get through some trials and tribulation in their marriage, and if your marriage represents the relationship between Christ and the church and people see that, you can help that marriage. You can be a light to that marriage. You can be a light to somebody who's struggling with their children. You can be a light to somebody who's struggling with their faith. You can be a light to somebody who's struggling with drug abuse. You can be a light to somebody who's struggling with homosexuality. You can be a light to somebody who's struggling with the fact that they don't even know why they obeyed the gospel in the first place. They're confused about life. You can be that light in a world filled with darkness. You know, there was a father who went into the store to buy his son a Christmas present, and the salesman showed him a new educational toy, and it came unassembled. And no matter how much time the child spent trying to put the pieces together, he just couldn't get it done. As a matter of fact, he just kept trying, and he figured out, you know what, I just can't do this alone. You see, he needed some instruction and some help from his father. And we are just like that child. Always says, gimme, gimme, gimme. I want, I want, I want. I live and deal and act in a manner in which I don't know who I belong to. And sometimes it takes us to sit down and read the instructions and listen to our Father, because we can't do it alone. We need the lighthouse to guide us through that darkness. And in the same way, for that child of God, we need our Heavenly Father. He has given us instructions. He is Christ. He is everything. Matter of fact, everything that he does and has done makes sense. And let me say this. If you're fumbling in the dark with the things of this world, I need for you to ask yourself this question. If life don't make sense to you no more, if you're just like, I just don't understand. Have you ever noticed, though, when you're walking in darkness, you fumble and you can't seem to get it right, you don't understand. But when you seriously seek out righteousness, things all of a sudden begin to make sense. And if you're the type of person, when you're going down this path that you're going on, that you've chosen to go on, and it seems like everything is coming your way, it's probably a good idea to recognize you're going the wrong way. Because when you're going the right way, most of the time, there's not a lot of stuff in your way. When I'm traveling down this road, there's nothing in the way. But I dare you to travel down to oncoming traffic and see if you don't have an accident. That's how we are with our faith. We're going the wrong way and things seem to be coming our way and we can't seem to get it together. But the moment you give your heart and your whole self to him, things begin to make sense. You begin going in the right direction. Things begin to come together. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will do what? Direct your path. Life without God is confusing, man. And it's a life of futility, man. I mean, in other words, it's without God. Especially as believers, if you're not truly practicing this, this is useless. Your life is useless without God. I don't care how much money you make. I don't care how much prestige you have. I don't care how many awards and accolades you have. A life without God is useless. You have wasted the time that he has given you. You remember the motto for Motel 6? We'll leave the light on for you. Well, guess what? It was designed to convey what? A sense of warmth. They care. They're going to leave the light on for me. No matter what time I pull up, 3 a.m, hey, I can pull up in the evening time, they're going to leave the light on. It's a great marketing strategy. And it's a nice sentiment. But I need you to understand something. That earthly lights will dim. Earthly lights will go out. They will blow. They will break and malfunction. But I need for you to remember, but there is a light that will never go out. And that is the light of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. So, since Motel 6 has a motto, I got a motto for us. You ready for it? Here it goes. John chapter 1, verse 5. Hit it. This is my voiceover right here. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And that light that we're speaking of is the light of Christ. You're talking about being the light of the world, then if you're doing that and you're practicing that and you're living like that and you believe in that and you have the faith to do all of that, then we should be overcoming the darkness of this world. There is no reason why we shouldn't. If we're doing these things, we're practicing these things, we're meditating on these things, and we're going out in the world and showing them, this is what a Christian and a follower of Christ looks like. This is what it looks like to be the salt of the earth and of the world. This is what it means to be a light that's set up on a hill that's not covered up, that everybody can see. And as a fact, as a reason and a fact, because you're doing that, God gets the glory. That's the way it ought to be. Jesus is that forever light. He's the light of order. He is the light of comfort. He is the light of love, the light of peace, reconciliation, rejoicing, right? Being restored, being revived, born again. He's the light of all of these things, and we have to remember this. He is our guiding light. In 1 Peter chapter 2, Proverbs 3 verse 6 says, in all their ways acknowledge you and he'll direct your paths. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are a chosen race. He chose you before you ever chose him. And then you become a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Because now you recognize that you were chosen and you adhere to the call. And now that you've adhered to the call, you are a people of his own possession. That's my son. Amanda, that's my daughter. These are my people. And that you may proclaim, because you have done these things, the excellencies of him. Because you can do that. When you're righteous, you can do that. When you follow the words, you can do that. When you're in the word and you understand it, you can refute false doctrine. You can stand for the truth. And you're out there proclaiming his excellence unto those who can see it. Because he called you and you answered the call. And you came out of that darkness because you made a conscious decision to follow the light. And now you're walking in the light. If I cut out every light in here and we close everything down, and I turned on a small little light, no matter how dark it was in this room, wherever I went with that light, there will be light. So it's big and it's vast and as sinful as this world is, don't think your light ain't powerful enough to shine in all of this darkness. In closing, I want you to be reminded that while we're going through all of this, you got to pray. We got to pray. We got to pray like we ain't never prayed before. We got to pray like we know lines to our favorite movie. We got to pray like we know the names of our favorite football stars. We got to pray like we know to the T about our financial situations and what's going on in the stock market. We need to pray like that. And I need you to understand the function of prayer. Many people get it twisted. The function of prayer is not to influence God. I want to say that again. The functioning of prayer is not to influence God or to change his mind. The functioning of prayer is to change your nature because you're praying. Prayer is to change your nature. If you think about it, why are you praying in the first place? And what does it take to pray to a God that you cannot see? Faith. You praying alone is changing your very nature. You think I'm kidding? I just want you to try. I just want you to go in the middle of the mall and get on your knees and start praying and see how other folks start responding. That's weird. That's not natural to people in the world. And when you get in that prostrate position and you pray and humble yourself, it's changing your attitude in the midst of the prayer alone, and you don't even know it. You bowing your head, you closing your eyes, you taking off your hat, you straightening up. Hey, y'all hushing here. Turn the lights off. Shut up. We finna pray. It'll change your very nature, your very attitude, just praying. And we don't utilize it enough because we think it's a way for us to change what's happening. I'm going to change God's mind because I'm going to pray about it. And if I pray, I'm going to change his mind. If I pray, it's going to change my current situation instead of you saying, change my very nature so I don't have to come to you about the same stuff over and over again. So if you're here this morning, I'm telling you, you have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. If you're here this morning, I need you to understand that when we let his light guide us home to him, we are overcoming the darkness of the world. You've already started your journey in the right direction. And you got to live and keep the light on like Motel 6 every single second and breath of your life. Because when the Savior returns, the light needs to be on. Your room needs to be prepared. Everything needs to be set out and ready to go when your Savior returns home for you. So if you're here this morning, and maybe you're not a Christian, I'm telling you right here, right now, you're missing out on the greatest relationship you could ever be involved in. And you need to get involved in a relationship with Christ so he can guide you through this life. The water is here. It's ready. And if you're here this morning and you are a Christian and you haven't been letting your light shine, then let it shine. You going to hide it under a bush? Oh, no. I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to keep it to myself. Oh, no. I'm going to let it shine. If you have not been letting your light shine, here's an opportunity. And remember, listen, y'all got to stop worrying about what other folks think. Nobody else can vouch for you in heaven. Can vouch for the way you lived your life here. Only you can do that. So if there's some things that you want to get right, then get it right. Let the word prick your heart and determine the way that you need to respond to his love for you. So if you're here this morning and you are subject to the invitation and you're searching for that God in light, please come now as together we stand and we sing.